Today on Movie World, as we talk about Star Wars Rogue One. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And yes, Dee as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Greetings, all.
So I should correct the intro that I just did, because it is actually Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
It's interesting. On IMDb, it says the original title was just Rogue One, but it got changed to Rogue One, a Star Wars story, lest you forget.
Wow.
I think it's marketing, right? They didn't want it to be lost as just some disposable sci-fi film. And they want to make the connection to Star Wars more obvious, I guess.
Well, I mean, Joe tried to have a conversation with me last night, and I was like, no, stop. Let's save this for the podcast, which was...
Well, yeah, there was a big debate on the website reddit.com, so there are... two different places where this movie is discussed. One is in the general movies forum, and the other one is in the Star Wars forum. And the general movies forum is filled with people who are essentially disappointed that it's not more about the Darth Vader and the previous trilogies, that kind of Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker story.
Right. So they're basically saying it doesn't qualify as a Star Wars movie, right?
There are others who say, no, it's not meant to be part of that same thread. Correct. It's a Star Wars story. It's a story set in the universe.
Correct.
So it's actually been controversial among people, and I think only the real fans kind of got the idea that maybe this wasn't part of that whole...
It's a bonus movie, right?
It's a filler, I think... You know, Disney bought the franchise from Lucasfilm, right. And so they paid billions for it. And I think they're using the IP to, you know, give what fans want, which is more of that universe.
Like, the next movie is going to be a Han Solo origin story.
Which is fantastic.
Is that right?
Yeah. And Alden Ehrenreich is going to play the young Han Solo.
Wow. Oh, that's a good choice.
Now, are you a Star Wars... aficionado, yes, that's pretty like insider knowledge.
No, I just read IMDb news often.
Okay,
but I don't see as much as I like Alden Ehrenreich,
who we saw in Hail Caesar.
Yes,
and in Rules Don't Apply.
I don't see him as a young Harrison Ford.
I see that he's got the sass and the cockiness, and I think if channeled appropriately. I actually think he could be quite good.
No, I'm sure he'd be good.
I think he can turn up the charm.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the Solo character, right? I mean, he's that lovable rogue.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. Not to be confused with Rogue One.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, not a segue there.
Yeah.
So I guess before we get into the review, we should...
Hold on. Yes, it's like, hold on. You don't get to hear the review quite yet. We're going to keep you hanging.
This is one of those rare single movie episodes. And I think, A, there's a lot to talk about here. But B, you know, this is a big movie. So we want to make sure we get the podcast out on time. So it's one of these podcasts that I suspect... will be of little use if...
What are you saying?
Well, well, not that our podcasts are ever any use to anyone, but I think it's one of those podcasts that this movie's going to come out and everyone's going to see it.
The fans are going to go out and see it.
Right.
True.
They've already seen it.
Yeah.
Right. So if we're not out in the world early enough giving you our opinions, and, you know, this may as well be a post-movie discussion.
I see what you mean now. Okay.
So, on that note, let's switch to our usual segment of I can't find anything to watch on Netflix. And we do this to address one of the common questions that we get from people, which is I turn on Netflix and I'm lost. There's so many movies, I don't know what to choose. So, what are your picks of the week, guys?
Well, I'm very excited to share my pick of the week, because this is something that I thought we'd never see on Netflix, and the movie is a Swedish movie, so I'm stealing Yazdi's foreign movie soapbox, which he normally stands upon. This is a Swedish movie that came out in about 2015 to the main American audience, and it's called A Pigeon Sat on a Branch, Reflecting on Existence. And it's basically about these two salesmen, and they're hapless, and they sell these novelty items, and they're called Sam and Jonathan, and they basically embark on a tour of the human condition in reality and fantasy that unfolds in a series of really absurd episodes. It's almost a series of vignettes again. So this is a theme for me, right? Because I love Mina Dog and I love Wild Tales.
I think it's in your attention span.
Huh? It's in my attention span. Thank you, Joe.
Holy Motors.
So it's a series of vignettes that are strung together, but they do have some connection. But this is complete with a 40s drinking song, a beer drinking song in the movie.
Very nice.
This is delightful and absurd and crazy and deep.
Oh, I've been wanting to see it ever since
it came
out.
And it's funny.
Yeah. So it came out on Netflix pretty quickly because I think it just...
It was a smaller movie, I remember it came out. It was one of the Film Independent screeners from last year. So it was very heavily appreciated within the independent film community. But
a pigeon sat on a branch reflecting on existence. I mean, the title tells you it all.
It sounds a little... indulgent, no?
And it is.
Okay, good.
And it is.
But that shouldn't turn into a
video. It's not a linear story. It's much more in the vein of something a little challenging, but it's fun to watch. Even if you watch it and you're like, what the hell are they doing? But it does come together.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my point is people shouldn't shrug it aside as just, it's a serious movie about philosophy or anything.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, yours is.
So my pick of this particular episode is a movie that was on my top 10 list from last year, and we all absolutely loved it, and it's a movie called Taxi. And it's directed by the Iranian director Jafar Panahi, and a little bit of a backstory on Panahi was that after he made several films, some of which were considered by the Iranian government to be kind of anti-nationalistic, he was put under house arrest for 6 years, along with his wife and daughter and several of his friends. And there's been, he is on a 20-year ban to direct any movies, and he continues to live in Iran, almost as a, it would be easy for him to just, move to the US or UK or wherever and make movies there, but he kind of wants to make his stance that no, he's going to stay within the country and continue to express himself.
That's so brave.
And he's, even while being under house arrest, he has kind of surreptitiously made 3 movies already. This is his 3rd movie called Taxi. And it essentially is about this man, played by Jafar Panahi himself, who's driving around in a taxi around Tehran. And various passengers come and go, and you learn about them by virtue of them coming and going.
Yeah, and it's difficult to know whether it's a mockumentary or a documentary. I think the genius of the movie is that you never quite figure out whether these are really things that are happening or whether they're staged.
Yes, there's,
And each of the stories is very different, and they're very enlightening, some of them, about life in Tehran.
They're very, very enlightening. At least 2 of the stories, I think, are very clearly staged because they couldn't have happened. I mean, they are staged. But be that as it may, I think as a whole, it gives you a very good sense of what it is to live in Iran right now.
Yeah.
And it's, I think what's remarkable about it is that there is no browbeating, there is no,
it's
banging.
Not political.
This is how you should think about it.
It's not political and it's not religious.
It's like, this is how it is. You make what you will out of it.
Yeah.
And it's a brisk hour and 22 minutes long. It's fun. It's funny. It makes you think about what you might do in certain situations yourself. And it doesn't have any credits because,
people don't want to go into jail.
Yeah, and I believe we nominated it for the best foreign movie
last year
for San Diego Film Critics in 2015.
Correct. Yeah. So definitely give it a try. You won't regret it.
I agree.
It's a great introduction to the work of Panahi. The movie's called Taxi.
Excellent.
And
my pick is a little bit of a cop out because it was a movie that we. And I say it's a cop-out in that I think it's a movie that no one's going to be kind of surprised. It's not a little hidden gem. This is Boyhood. This is the very highly celebrated movie of 2014. It did very well in the 2015 awards. season, and directed by Richard Linklater. So if you're a fan of his work, this is really very much more of the same. But this movie is remarkable in part because it was filmed over a decade or more of time. It follows a
gimmick.
Well, you know, it's controversial as to whether or not that was worth the effort. Rashmi perceived it to be a bit of a gimmick. I think that the amount of planning and foresight and risk involved in making a movie over that kind of length of time, because so many things could happen to any of your leads, in terms of contract and budget and just their life. I just think it's a very inspired, probably unique film. And, for me, I related to it brilliantly. I think it's, a wonderful story about life more than anything else. I think Linklater has a very, at least for me, he's a modern day philosopher. He sees and shows life happening in a way that's unforced and just magical. So Boyhood from last year.
Yeah, what I love about it is that he never, ever, ever tries to be profound. You know, it's all little things, and then they all accumulate and eventually do become profound.
But I was going to say, therein lies the depth.
that's a very, very difficult balancing act to walk, you know, because it may just all come off as poof, as nothingness. And a lot of people who don't like the movie find it nothingness. But, you know, for those for whom it gathers weight, it does gather a lot of weight.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you, he is very good at just his observation of life. And I think Everybody Wants Some is definitely going to be on my top five of movies for 2016, which I loved.
I think
that kind of was a little underrated too. So I can admire Boyhood. I didn't necessarily love it.
Yeah. It's quite the opposite of, it's quite the opposite of, your brisk movie of 1 hour and 20 minutes, because Boyhood nearly goes on for 3 hours.
Or 17 years.
Do make sure that you set aside an afternoon to make sense of it all.
Make snacks. You'll need them.
It's terrific stuff. And,
and the fun, a lot has been made about the fact that, you know, Ella Coltrane, the lead, you know, ages over 12 years. But it's not just him who is aging. It's the other actors who are aging too. You know, Ethan Hawke does, and Patricia Arquette does, and the director's own daughter, Lorelai Linklater, who plays the lead sister, she ages as well. So it's just, it's quite the journey.
It is. It's very brave. And I think you could argue whether or not it was worth doing it in the way that they did it. If this was shot traditionally, narratively, with hair and makeup, would it have been just as good? But, you know, there's something to be said for just how they visually mature over time. And I think you can see their personalities beneath the characters as well, changing. So, all right. So we have Boyhood, we have Taxi, and we have a pigeon sat on a branch reflecting existence.
Okay. So one more thing before we get into our Rogue One. You have to wait a little bit longer because I have a Star Wars game for us.
We've had longer podcasts.
I know. But this is a good one. So I just saw this thing today. It says, what's your Star Wars name? So remember, in all of these Star Wars movies, people always have weird and interesting names.
Qui-Gon Jinn and
Ben
Kenobi.
Correct. And then there's all of the Siths as well, which are all like, you know, Darth and Lord. Anyway, so we will do our movie Walla Star Wars name. And how you find this, there are some specific rules. So listen to the rules carefully. And you too could have a Star Wars name. Okay, so your first name is going to be the first three letters of your last name and the first two letters of your first name. So mine would be Ganra.
Mine would be Pitya.
And Joe, yours would be?
Jarjo.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Okay.
Jarjo, yeah.
And for your last name?
Which is Polish for grandfather, by the way.
Oh, there you go. Yes. Oh, it's very mystical, as Star Wars is. And for your last name, take the first two letters of your mother's first name and the first three letters of the city in which you were born. So I would be Salon. Ganra Salon.
I would be Pitya Do Bomb.
You are the bomb.
Yeah, the bomb.
And I would be Jarjo Hakiel.
Wow. Okay, so there you have it. Our Star Wars names for this episode.
Brought to you by Jarjo Hakiel.
Okay, I'm going to write these down. Please tell me
Ganra Salon.
Salon.
Yes. Oh, salon.
Yeah, like salon.
Yes, like salon.
And you are Joe.
Joe. Halkiel. That'll do.
Okay. I'll post this.
Okay.
Perfect.
So now...
So finally, 15 minutes into the podcast, let's talk about Rogue One. So, Yazdi, you're going to give us the background on this, right?
Yes. So Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, is been entrusted to director Gareth Edwards, and he who initially made the small sci-fi movie Monsters and then the big sci-fi movie Godzilla, he takes on director's responsibility for this. And he actually brought along some very accomplished screenwriters for this, Chris Weitz and Tony Gilroy, who between them have won many Oscars. And then John Knoll, Gary Whitta are also included as story writers. And then George Lucas is given credit for creating the original Star Wars characters. And this movie has a lovely cast, a lot of them British. And actually, I take that back. Actually, the cast is very diverse, I would say. There's some European actors, some American actors, some Asian actors. So Felicity Jones plays the lead. Diego Luna, who is a Mexican actor we have known for a long time, he plays the male lead. There is a new robot in the Star Wars, in this particular universe, called K2SO, and that's voiced by Alan Tudyk. Donnie Yen, who is a big Asian superstar, is in this movie. And Forrest Whitaker, who we all know for a long time, he's here. Riz Ahmed, up-and-comer British actor of Indian origin, is there as well. And then Jimmy Smits is there, and so is Mads Mikkelsen, who seems to be in a lot of movies of late.
Yes.
Yeah. The movie is a brisk 134 minutes long. It's rated PG-13. And in terms of the story, it's very difficult to kind of summarize it. So I'm going to go with what's in IMDb, in that a group of people get together to form the Rebel Alliance, and the Rebel Alliance takes it upon itself to create a plan to steal secrets around the Death Star, setting up the epic saga, which is to follow. So that's Rogue One. It's already made like $200 and some million worldwide, and the first 3 days that it's been released. So it doesn't need us recommending them, but so be it. Should we be recommending it?
This didn't suck. I'm really happy to say this didn't suck.
Why did you think this would even suck?
I don't know. Like I remember really liking...
Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens.
You were very gushy about that, more so than the two of us.
Yeah. But I didn't. It didn't last. The feeling of The Force Awakens didn't last for me. And so when I heard Rogue One was coming, I really, really enjoyed The Force Awakens. But it just wasn't a sustained feeling of joy. And so when this came, I just thought, oh God, here we go again. Wheels, you know, going through the wheels, wheels in motion. But I really enjoyed this movie because I think it didn't come with the weight of expectation for me. I mean, Joe, you've been beside yourself for about the last 2 months, I think, talking about how excited you are. So I think this is totally a movie for the fans, and there's not going to be an original fan currently in their 40s or a little bit above who's not going to feel nostalgic in a I love this movie way when you walk out of that theater. To the point we made earlier about this not qualifying as a Star Wars movie, I think this is the perfect little what's the thing that you have between meals to cleanse your palate?
Amuse-bouche.
Not an amuse-bouche. Palate cleanser, yeah. To me, this is a perfect little palate cleanser, a focused, good story with really, really good acting.
Wow. So, yeah, I
weight of expectations, man.
Yeah, so a funny thing happened to me. I wasn't all that interested in this. And then about 6 weeks ago or so, the buzz started coming up on the internet, a lot of the kind of tech and, you know, boy stuff forums that I frequent kind of started talking about lots of Star Wars and the strength of the cast. And Gareth Edwards, who is well respected, but he had made two films that I didn't like very much. Monsters, I had a hard time with. Godzilla was a big disappointment. So I was kind of concerned about what he was going to do with this material. And then I caught one of the trailers, and I think the direction that they've taken with this movie started to get me nervously excited. So, plus the strength of the cast, I think this movie has probably one of the strongest casts of well knowns that of any of the Star Wars movie. Lucas famously cast, you know, unknowns in his lead roles, and J.J. Abrams did the same thing with The Force Awakens. So, all of that's a prelude to saying, I went in there with, you know, somewhat guarded but high hopes. And yeah, I wasn't disappointed at all. I think the movie starts off quite slowly. And I think the pacing is off just a little bit. I think that's a Gareth Edwards hallmark. He tends to be, you know, he tends to build his stories. But, by the end of it all, it has a superb finale. And, it was a superb movie overall. I mean, I think I can't help but feel that it is just a filler in the sense of it's keeping us, like you say, it's getting us ready for the next installment of the main franchise. But this is as deep and dark a Star Wars movie as I think we've seen, and I think it's more sophisticated in its storytelling than any of the others.
Agreed.
In terms of its character development, and so on. So I really liked it.
Yes, Steve.
Yeah, I. There's many things. I think like you, Rashmi, I had kind of very low expectations for this and a little bit of annoyance even because Disney seems to be doing what Marvel's doing,
yeah,
which is just like a desperate bid to make as much money as they can by just like squeezing the last drop out of every superhero you haven't heard for. And it seemed like Disney was doing the same thing, but I think they're going to release movies in the actual Star Wars timeline every 2 years. And in between, you know, because God knows they don't make enough money during that time, they wanted, you know, there was greed to make these other movies. So it came from a place of desperation. So I was kind of a little reluctant. I think on its own, the movie stands as a very, very good action thriller. I think it's very well rooted. I was actually at a holiday event yesterday. I was speaking with someone and they pointed something out to me, which I hadn't noticed, but it completely makes sense. And what they said was that this movie is perhaps the least grounded in fantasy and the most grounded yeah. in reality of yeah. all of the Star Wars movies.
Very little use of the Force.
Yeah. So it's very much grounded in the here and now. It's very grounded in kind of a fight between, you know, it's a David and Goliath story. In some ways, you know, this little ragtag group of people taking on, you know,
the Empire.
So from that perspective, it's really good. I really liked The Force Awakens so much last year. I really did. And I just loved the new characters. I loved what J.J. Abrams did with it. And it has stayed with me. And I can't wait to see what happens to those characters again. So I think it pales a little bit in comparison, but I don't even think we should be comparing because this is not meant to be, you know, a head-to-head comparison against that. So a lot of people are saying this is better than The Force Awakens. It most definitely is not for me, but on its own, it's a good movie.
So what's interesting is literally A New Hope was on TV last night and I picked it up about a third of the way through and it made me realize just how much attention and care and love has been given to this movie, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. I mean, there's a lot of time I feel that's really been taken to fill in the gaps. Because if you think about it, we all watched A New Hope when we were, for us who are sitting around the table, most of us watched this when we were very, very young. And it's difficult to understand what the story is until you've watched the trilogy and now we've watched the trilogy, which wasn't very good, but this for me I think went so deep and it's so focused it actually taught me more about the universe than any of the other movies have. So this to me, in weight of how much story it manages to convey about the universe, felt like more than those seven stories that we've already watched. And I think it's got a really likable and smart leading protagonist. Felicity Jones brings so much heart to the role and so much emotion, but it's understated and so well played. So I have to give her credit for how good this movie is. It's very well acted.
Yeah, it's interesting you say it gives you a lot of context for the universe because I think it's less Star Wars-y than many of the others. I mean,
so it's not, you know, distracting.
Yasti made the point about it being less fantastical, and I think, you know, that's well taken. There's none of this, you know, using of the force to, you know, lift objects and throw objects. You know, there's not a lot of that in here. It's essentially a war movie. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I kind of liked that, but it didn't get into... I think it's
more about survival.
Correct. But I didn't... To me, it didn't give me very much Star Wars. I think there's been criticism of there being not enough aliens. You know, when you look at some of the other...
Which is normally distracting, I think.
I think so, too. But... There are aliens in here, but they're not like walking around everywhere like they are on Tatooine, you know, in any of the original movies or, So it is very much less Star Wars like. It's a very almost human story.
Correct.
You know, given that it's a galaxy far away a long time ago, you know, it's kind of interesting that they, are keeping it very current. And I think for me, more than anything, the story was a nice little way of explaining a couple of key plot points in A New Hope. You know, we never had an appreciation for and this is here in the movie info, so it's not a spoiler, but we never really had an appreciation of what it must have taken for a group of the early days of the rebellion to steal the plans for the Death Star that we know full well were stolen, because that's one of the plot elements in A New Hope. It's trying to get R2-D2 to the to the rest of the Rebel Alliance. So it's a lovely way of expanding what was really almost a throwaway line of dialogue into a full story, and I think they've done a lovely job of that.
Although, you know, if you exclude the last 15 minutes of the movie, you could make the case that this has nothing to do with Star Wars.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's interesting. I read somewhere online somebody saying it's more wars and less Star.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's the other thing. The movie is very militant almost. It starts off with fights and it kind of sustains it through the whole running time. There's a lot of conflict and fighting through most of the movie, which therefore I think it's kind of more of an action film. I mean, I think of, you know, the Return of the Jedi, and even Empire Strikes Back is very somewhat philosophical, and there is no time for philosophy here. I mean, you can ponder upon the movie after you've left the movie and think about philosophy, but
I think it brings a delightful ambiguity to the ethics and morals of the rebellion. I mean, you know, it's that classic conundrum that you have when you see wrongdoing. You know, you have to at some point consider that the idea of taking up arms and becoming what you're being oppressed by. And we see this time and time again, and it felt kind of current in some ways.
What's happening in the Middle East today? Yes, absolutely.
You know, this is a ragtag band of people, and they're in desperation. They're fighting against tyranny, so there's an uprising, and they have to do bad things. You know, that I think the movie did really well.
Really well, yeah. You stole my words. So you did see my notes yesterday when you were
pretending to come behind my
back and give me niceness.
Look, they sync to my Evernote account now.
That's true, yeah. The one other thing I really liked here was K2SO. It's hard to top C-3PO and R2-D2. And this droid was adorable and witty and funny and genuinely smart. I mean, I really love this droid.
Yeah, he was probably character-wise, he was the most memorable of them all here. I mean, everyone else has their little jobs to do, but you know, he's the one that I remember, and he's the one that I hope to see again.
Me too.
A lot of people have called this movie dark. And I don't think it's dark by way of tone. I think
3D glasses.
Well, that way, visually it's dark too. But I think a lot of people have called it conceptually dark. I don't think it's conceptually dark at all. I think in terms of how things play out, maybe in retrospect it might seem dark. But it doesn't have a dark tone at all. I don't think so.
I agree in a sense, Yazdi, because I think it's about oppression. If you follow the oppression comment, Joe, that you made, it's about someone having to do something against their will and the fallout of that in some ways,
and
you've got an orphan in some ways
and
trying to,
but Rey was an orphan too, and
true but I felt her plight a lot more in this movie, really? I would say, yeah,
but being very careful about spoilers, there's a reason that we don't see these characters and you hope. And I think therein lies some of the darkness.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Okay.
What else? What did you guys think of the 3D? Because we got to see this one in 3D.
You know, it didn't feel like it was shot in 3D. I'm not sure if it was or wasn't. It was, for me, I would say save the money, take the glasses off, watch it on a bright, crisp, focused 2D screen. And I intend to see it again in the theater without the 3D. So it didn't do anything for me at all. And I don't know whether that was a setup on the day, but I didn't feel like it did anything for the storytelling at all.
Yeah, I could take it or leave it. Okay. It didn't do much for me.
Yeah, I just don't like how dark it gets.
Which is 3D has to be either a spectacle or essential to the telling of the story. Yeah,
it was immersive for me. I mean, I did enjoy the hyperspace. The ships appearing was very cool. It kind of added to some of the effects, I thought, which was kind of fun. But yeah, I'd like to see it again, not in 3D. So we've probably gone on a long time about this one, right?
Yeah, good on 15 minutes.
So let's wrap this one up. So, Yazdi, why don't you start us?
So considering where this movie is coming from, essentially, to put it bluntly, as like you said, as a filler between, you know, two subsequent Star Wars movies, it's not bad at all. It's actually pretty good. It's robust. It's well-directed. Good acting. And it stands on its own. I think, you know, I saw somebody bring like a seven-year-old to watch this movie. And a seven-year-old who has no history of what's happened before with the whole Star Wars universe would still enjoy it, I think, for what it is. 7 out of 10.
Joe?
You know, I think this was in many ways superior to A Force Awakens last year. I think I have a big problem with J.J. Abrams. As much as he's well-loved by everyone out there, I hate what he's done with the Star Wars, Star Trek universe. I really do. And I as much as I appreciated The Force Awakens for being a lovely extension, it just felt like a retread of what we've seen before with, you know, I'm glad that he's not doing part two. Let's just put it that way. That's going to Rian Johnson of Looper. So that's a good move in my book. So this movie, changes the tone back to what I think a modern Star Wars movie should be. And as a consequence, I love the heck out of this. You know, this was a solid installment in that universe. I think it's given the fans what we wanted. And it's got one of the best action sequence finales, space battles of the whole series, but certainly of the year. I mean, I really had a good fun with this one. So I'm going to give it a very stingy 8 out of 10. I'm not quite sure why I'm not going for my 9, but I really like this. The CG faces were distracting. That's the only thing that I'll say. Yeah. There were a couple of characters who were depicted in CG, and every time they appeared on screen, it took me right out of the movie.
Yeah. So Amy Nicholson of MTV, one of the critics there, has written this sentence here. It says, look, audiences once packed theaters to gawk at the future. Now it's to soak in the past. I think that's a little bit unfair, but this is drenched in nostalgia. And I think, unfortunately, you know, I don't think this can step outside its universe of what's already been created 20-something years ago. So we are confined to the boundaries that have already been created. That said, I think this was an excellent movie if you're a Star Wars fan. And if you are a Star Wars fan, take the time to go and see this in the cinemas, because you will enjoy watching it with other fans. There's something very communal about a Star Wars movie. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, don't bother. It's nothing new. For me, also a solid 8 out of 10.
Terrific. Well, yeah, it's interesting what Disney's going to do with this. I mean, they paid enough for the rights to make these movies. So I think we're going to keep seeing more and more of them. And I think the universe is big enough to kind of support that. I mean, I think there's side stories and ancillary characters. And
well, it's such a rich universe, kind of like Harry Potter. I mean, if you think about, we did Fantastic Beasts, Somewhere to Find Them, by J.K. Rowling. I mean, these are really rich universes that you can really dig. And I think if you're a fan,
so
what's
here's
not
a question.
To love?
I mean, if we had, you know, given that there wasn't a lot of the Force type stuff in here, Would this movie have been as impactful if they had been brand new characters in a new franchise, just set in a different galaxy far,
no, because
far
we would
away?
Have said this is just like Star Wars. It can't be in a galaxy far, far away. Maybe if it was a galaxy nearby, we might give it some credence. I don't know.
That's why I think I almost discount the fact that it's part of the Star Wars galaxy, and I'm just looking at it independently as a movie. And that's why I think it's pretty solid as that. It's not an 8, it's a 7, but it's a very, very strong 7 for me. But I think a lot of people who love it like it because it makes this really nice clicking attachment,
I agree.
You know, to A New Hope. You know, it really connects very well to the New Hope. And I think that's where excitement and nostalgia and everything.
What's not to love about seeing some of those characters? I literally had goosebumps. I'm not going to say which ones appear, but I mean, I literally had goosebumps. I had this huge smile on my face. I mean, it's
and the continuity
it's thrilling.
Of it all. I mean,
it's thrilling.
This movie
to see
ends
these,
right at the beginning of A New Hope. I mean, there is seemingly very little time between where this story ends and where the next one goes. So in some ways it is part of the,
it's
not
part
as
of the universe.
Separate as the kind of subtitle, a Star Wars story might assume. It's not, it's just not the Darth Vader character arc.
Yeah.
All right. Mail at movierollers.com. Let us know what you think. Twitter.com/movierollers, Facebook.com/movierollers as well. More movie rollers to come. We've got a bunch of end of year movies that we're trying to cover today in our recording session. So look forward to those reviews coming at you very quickly. Until our next podcast, it's too many movies, too little time. Bye from me.
From me.
Me as well.